You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Roundtable, monthly roundtable show. This is episode 999. Oh, God. But there we go, getting close to the 1,000 next week. And I never thought I would get there, but I have managed, my beloved tribe. We've got a great panel. We've got some great stories of the month. It should be a great show. So I've got a returning friend of the show. We've got Katie Keith with us. So, Katie, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Yeah, I'm Katie Keith, founder and CEO at Barn2 Plugins. We make WordPress and WooCommerce plugins, and we're just starting on Shopify apps as well.
Yes. I've got the king of AI and WordPress, got Spencer Forum. Spencer, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
It's Spence from WP Launchify or SpencerForum.com. And it's hard to believe that was a month since the last roundup. That seemed like 2 days ago.
It's crazy, isn't it? I've got my great normal co-host with me, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Kurt Von Annen with Manana No Mas, and we work directly with WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. And I've got Mark. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Mark Benzikane. I am with MainWP, and we are this week celebrating 12 years of existence, which is pretty amazing. And we just released our biggest version ever, version 6.0. So I'm very exciting week for us.
That's fantastic. Heather won't be with us this week. She is in Malaysia, but she will be back next month, she tells me. We've got, like I say, we've got some fantastic stories we're going to be discussing. Me and Kirk interviewed Matt Manweg last week, and he wrote a blog post about what he covered in the interview. We're going to be discussing a judge got a bit angry with Mark Suttersberg and his team, and a load of other stories. But before we go into these, I got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Also want to point out, we've got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show, plus a created list of the best WordPress and plugins and services for the WordPress professional and a load of other freebies. Where can you go to get these? Well, basically go over to wp-tonic.com/deals. Like I say, wp-tonic.com/deals. I am traveling, folks, so I'm not totally in my normal mode, as they would say, but it should be a great show. So let's go straight into it. So me and Kirk had the pleasure of having a chat with Matt Manweg. We covered all things AI. So Katie, what did you think was some of the key things that Matt wanted to discuss with us?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting hearing from him, because we hear from a lot of his like team members about the day-to-day stuff. And with him, it's more kind of the vision level and so on. But honestly, I like to see the concrete stuff as much as anything, like exactly what will happen. One thing that frustrates me about the current AI status in WordPress is how developer-focused it is. They talk about all these great things they're doing, which are amazing for developers. Well, I can't do a thing with them. I just spent half an hour trying to set up the WordPress MCP and failing today. And Claude actually told me to stop because I clearly couldn't do it. So I'm looking forward to the bits that they don't talk about so much, which is the UIs and things, either in core or in an official plugin that allows anybody to use this stuff. Because I feel that the masses are cut off at the moment from the amazing things they're doing.
Well, that, I think that's at the core of it, isn't it? Can an open source project like WordPress really utilize some of the benefits of AI? And I think there are some. Or do kind of, I would say SaaS, but SaaS in some ways is just as challenged as WordPress. We live in interesting times, don't we? So, Mark, what did you think were some of the key things that we, me and Kurt covered with Matt?
I pretty much agree with a lot of what Katie just said. I think that that everything is focused a lot on the developer side of things. And for those of us who dabble a little bit in development every now and then, and we get that bug, it's okay. But I, for me, what I'd really like for, I'd like for it to do things like write better. Personally, I struggle with, every once in a while I'll get a weird bug to say, hey, let's see what it can write about this. And what it puts out, all it does is inspire me to write something myself, which I could have done without. But so I don't know. I don't have a lot to say on that other than there was one thing that I picked up on the article and the discussion, and now I can't remember what it was that I thought was interesting. If I remember it, I'll come back to it. So go ahead and move on. But there was something that did interest me and I wanted to bring up, and now I can't remember what it was.
So Spencer, I think some of the things that piqued my interest is, how are you going to deal with the plugin directory and obviously ASUS army of additional plugins and the security? And Kurt pointed out some things to Matt as well. But what were some of the things you would like to point out from the interview, that if you got anything from it at all?
First of all, you guys did a great job. I appreciated, the interview, and he seemed more relaxed to talk to you than in past occasions. In general, though, to put this politely and mildly, this is like listening to, not because of you guys, but because of him, like talking to somebody sitting on a beach chair on a beach in Thailand. While you're in the hotel, you can see the camera and you see that 800-foot tsunami. It's 100 yards offshore. And he's like, yeah, what do you guys want to eat for lunch? Like some, you know, we're going to be like going to swim later. And he's talking like somebody who is completely detached from the shit that I'm doing today and 1,000 other people I know are doing today. All the stuff he's talking about is so irrelevant and so obtuse and so like, where have you been? Because I wake up every morning like a kid at Christmas whose father was a gajillionaire and left me everything in the world. Because every morning I could list 100 things that happened since last night, from Perplexity to Opus to it. Everybody is, the guardrails are removed and everything is awesome. On my desk behind us, I have 10 different applications being built that used to take 2 years and maybe $500,000 and a fleet of people. And me, little old me, the guy who can't roll a bowling ball with Katie Keith, is able to do this by myself. So whatever your business is in WordPress, whether you make plugins or whatever, if you're not doing this, if you're not already into this, I don't know what to say except like just start doing a little deep research, because the things that I'm doing and selling and showing right now are 1,000 miles beyond anything he's even talking to you guys about. And the reason it's important is because the box of WordPress remains as the destination for this stuff. It's how we get there that is completely different.
all of the plugins irrelevant, with the exception of some things like WooCommerce or a Fluent CRM or something that does a foundational feature, just because that's too much to bother with. But for all of the utility plugins, it's over. And I don't mean that with any disrespect that there will be clients rushing out the door, because I speak to clients every day. They're like, listen, man, I love my horse and my saddle. I don't want to change. But if you're trying to think in terms of where WordPress is going or where your business is going, that's where it's at. And this tsunami, when it does hit the beach, like a little more mainstream, is going to wipe out everything he was just dabbling about. That's it. We'll see.
Yeah, well, I see where you're coming from. But I also think it's quite interesting what we've just observed in this panel, because Katie is not a full-time developer, but she's very technical. She runs a very successful plugin agency. And Mark is quite technical, and they're struggling to see what you see.
I know.
Yeah, so can you explain that? Because I don't think Katie or Mark are in any shape or form being dishonest. They're just telling it out of the way they see it. But there seems to be an enormous gulf in what they're seeing and what you're seeing.
Well, can I just interject something really quick here? And I think that the point where Katie and I are coming from is we don't come from the angle of a developer, and where Matt is approaching things is everything is like development. And we're saying, you know, we would like to, WordPress is more than just that. And so what Spencer is doing is a lot of development and that kind of thing, and it works well for him. And I think the thing that we're looking for, everyone is looking for, is how to leverage, and Matt covers it a little bit in this in his own way, which is how AI allows you to scale yourself if you use it right, and how it will get to the point where we can scale ourselves. And I think what Katie and I are probably specifically looking for in our particular positions, and Katie, forgive me if I'm speaking for you and I shouldn't be, but is we're looking for ways to scale ourselves and in what we're doing and how we can best use AI to scale ourselves. It's not that we're against it. We just don't feel like it's like we've found that magic formula yet, or I don't anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm in a mastermind group with, I think, 7 or 8 founders of plugin companies, and most of them are developers, whereas I'm not. And so I see them talking on Slack all day, every day, about all these amazing things they are doing with AI from a development perspective. They sound exactly like Spencer. And then when I try to do something even very basic, like a custom widget for my Help Scout account or something, if I try to vibe code that, it is a disaster. I've tried multiple times. I cannot get AI to code things in a way that even works. It might take 2 days to get something basic working, and then it will be buggy. There'll be security holes if I show my developer friends. I think developers don't realize to what extent they are guiding the AIs that are doing all this coding by ensuring that it's using the right standards and architecture and even the right tools and technologies. That may change, but in my experience, non-developers can't do that yet. So therefore, there is a big threat from developers who will stop buying tools. But what about the little people?
Yeah. And I guess just to answer the question, my perspective comes from outcomes. I don't consider myself a developer first, second, third. Developer would be number 17th on my list. As a person who's a marketer and entrepreneur first, what I'm seeing in real life, and what I, since, by the way, it was on the show that I announced I was frustrated with the whole state of WordPress, and I said, I'm going to solve it. AI just came along at the right time to catalyze this. I look at outcomes. What is it that the Barn 2 plugins do? What does LaunchFlows do? What does WP Fusion do? What does any of the things from your mastermind group, I'm pals with all the same people, do? We made tools at a time when humans needed tools so they didn't have to hard code stuff. The tools themselves got us where we're at today. The reason you are frustrated or don't see what I see, or maybe Mark is the same, is because I've spent the last 6 months actually making the AI focus on making the outcomes in WordPress that we otherwise now use tools for, but they're bypassing us needing to use the tools. Hey, Fernando, dig the hole in the backyard that I used to have to go to Home Depot to buy all these plugins to do. And that means that if I was that type of a person, I'm not, I could go wipe out all of Barn 2 plugins, wipe out all of Mark Benzekan's plugins, wipe out WP Fusion. I could eliminate all of the plugins by the tools that I wrote, specifically let a person with a prompt have that outcome they need, with the exception of I've stayed away from WooCommerce, I've stayed away from the CRM, because those things are so specialized, there's no need to reinvent them. Plus, they have a backwards compatibility. And the reason I'm suggesting to you or anyone else that you might be interested is you're like somebody who is clearly one of the smartest people I know. You're looking in the wrong place. Instead of talking to the AI in the chat about what you can do with it, the outcome you need is where the difference is. How can the same outcome your plugins make be done by a tool that's specialized in making stuff for WordPress? Happy to share with you. You never asked to talk to me about it. Happy to share with you and show you, because it would remarkably change your business model. And in those cases, when I've seen you on Twitter, I've suggested some things, and I feel like this is just sort of like, where are my glasses? You know, they're right here. And, you know, but for everybody to themselves.
They don't understand that it doesn't work for me because I don't know how to guide it from a technical perspective.
But maybe you don't need to, because the tools that we're talking about don't need you to decide that. They need you to tell it, what is the outcome that our customers need or that our current plugins do? Replace it with something better, faster, cheaper, easier. And then that remarkably changes your cost of doing
business. Well, I like to bring Kirk into this, but one thing, Spencer, I think I do understand where you're coming from, but to suggest that somebody like Katie is not seeing what's in front of her.
Well, I'm just comparing.
I think that's stretching credibility a little bit too far, Spencer, a little bit, but I'll leave that to you.
I don't think I said anything disrespectful, because I really
was. I'm not saying that at all.
I'm saying, like, she's smart enough, if she had a conversation and I shared with her privately or otherwise some things, I think she would see, oh my goodness, it's right there. I've just been asking the wrong questions in the wrong place. Not that it's not something.
I think what Mark and Katie and what you're saying also is also outside of WordPress. I see these conversations happening a lot outside this particular panel. So we're just mirroring a lot of discussions that I'm observing in general. Anyway, that's why it interests me. So, Kurt, you've been just sitting there watching. You helped me interview Matt, what's your own observation of the interview and what we've just observed in this discussion, in this show?
Well, I've said it multiple times publicly, and I feel driven to say the same thing again. That's the second time that we've interviewed Matt, and both times that I've interviewed with him, he's been gracious, informative, pleasant. He's everything that I'm in fear of running into with him based on stories and things that you see posted. That behavior hasn't evidenced itself around me. I'm still on edge sometimes, but it's like, wow, that was another great experience. I was impressed that we went off script a few times in that interview, and he was flexible and he answered the questions, but not even just answered, but answered fully. And what really struck me was when I asked him about the repository, and I was like, hey, you yourself just said there were 70,000 plugins. And if AI is really doing this and people are vibe coding all this stuff, it's going to be at 100,000 plugins in the blink of an eye. And I feel like as an agency, you know, our strength is kind of like filtering out the nonsense, right? So when customers come to us, like Spencer says, I focus on outcomes, right? I'm a problem solver. So I don't tell people, you know, I don't sell WordPress and the tools I'm using to build their project, but I go, hey, we have a track record with really solid tools. We can build this for you, right? And it's, I worry that the repository is just going to blow it up with nonsense. And the one thing that he said that I still can't reconcile with is he said, instead of people creating lots of independent tools with loads of duplication, it would be better if people, you know, fork things and collaborated more. And I just don't see a real world situation where, you know, 10 or 15,000 creators get together and go, hey, you know what? Let's build this thing together, buddy.
I think that was very well put, Kurt, and that is a bit of linkage to what Spencer has been trying to point out about that kind of world has come and gone a little bit. But what's your thought before we go on to the next topic, Kurt, is that what interests me about this general conversation in this panel is that it mirrors general conversations I've seen in podcasts, in blog posts, in forums, you know, where you have reports of discussion of CEOs in general saying that they're not seeing an uptake in utilizing AI. They're not seeing any gains in profitability. But then you've got the AI world where, in some ways, you've seen with OpenClaw agents and the possibility and what Spencer does such a great job of showing the power. You've got this total contradictions going on. Do you think I'm on the right track there, Kurt?
Well, I think you are and you aren't, to be honest. It's a mucky situation. People that use the tools have to be fully knowledgeable about what the outcome should be. They should be able to, you know, validate the product that they're creating, and most people are not. And so I'm seeing in my space a lot of people trying to vibe code, or I don't want to say vibe code, that's weird, but it's like, hey, I'm going to ask AI for this code snippet. Like, that's a perfect example, right? I don't want to buy a plugin. I want to do something simple. I want to bypass, you know, and maybe I got Fluent CRM and I've got WooCommerce working, but I just want this to happen with my Woo product page or something. And they go, oh, I could buy this plugin. And they go, oh, you know what? I'm going to ask if I could change this. And then ChatGPT says, oh, that's a brilliant idea. Try this code, put it into your code snippets plugin. And then you put it in there. And then your page is a white page, says there's a critical error. That's where people freak out. And that's where we get the emails and the phone calls and the stuff, you know, the stuff that's like, wow, I got too confident and I did something stupid. And I think that a lot of people are trying to leverage AI when they're not at a stage where they can self-validate the work they create, and it's causing problems and security issues.
Well, I thank you for that. I think it's time to go on to the next story, but it's been really interesting. So Judge scolds Mark Zuckerberg team for wearing Meta glasses and social media troll. Obviously, I'm going to give a quick outline, folks. Mark Zuckerberg has decided to, maybe he didn't have the right to volunteer. Maybe he had to attend this trial, but it's been brought by a few people. One of them is, I think, a 22-year-old young woman, and they're saying that they've been damaged by social media and platforms that Mark Zuckerberg and his team have produced were designed to increase the amount of time that individuals spent on them, and this has caused damage. And I have very mixed feelings. I can see both sides, really. But I'm going to start with Spencer. I just sense reading this particular story, do you think Mark and his team, they're not naive people, you know, these are very sophisticated people in some ways, and in some ways they're not. And you can have two separate things be true at the same time. But do you think they actually did this just to take the piss out of the judge and out the court?
Absolutely.
And that's why they got this, you know, this is why they got this pushback.
Yes, absolutely. There's a level of societal change happening right now that we're all experiencing globally. Mm-hmm. It's very Marie Antoinette. It's very Julius Caesar. It's very Gilded Age. Somehow, somewhere, society shifts every so often from a very balanced continuum of the have-nots to the haves. And that's a healthy society, a healthy world, because it allows for people to find a place of comfort. we are in a Gilded Age redo, Julius Caesar redo, where there are the haves and the have-nots. And the haves are 10 people and their cohorts. And they feel that they can have contempt for all the rules of society and law and order. And doing this is just like thumbing your nose at the judge. And there's no other explanation for it. And what I take pleasure in is that history has proven that that balances itself out. It may not be easy or comfortable, but it always balances out because it maintains that there is an impossible ratio of 10 trillionaires or billionaires or zillionaires and all their cohorts, the 0.1% against the other 7.5 billion or 8 billion of us. It never works out that it balances. So I think these are just ways that they're further escalating or accelerating the inevitable rebalancing. And we're seeing that now in American politics, global politics, etc. There's ever and ever greater desperation to be radical in order to stay, you know, in the media or whatever. Wearing recording glasses to a trial is quite literally like, you know, draping yourself in a flag or something. It's
just, yeah, thanks for that. So, Katie, obviously I'm English, but also an American. You're
clearly English. Look at you.
Also, you're English, but you live in Spain. In English court, if you entered a high, you know, a crown court with recording glasses, you would straight away be in contempt of court, and you'd probably spend a period of time in prison, wouldn't you? Almost straight away, you know. I don't think in a county court or the high court, if you did this, it'd be kind of semi-suicidal, wouldn't it? It wasn't even acceptable in an American court, which are much more liberal. But where do you want to go? Do you want to talk about the essence of the case, or do you want to remark about? I do agree with what Spencer. I do think it's one big thumbs up. And I think it's not very wise because I think everybody, I call them the Epstein class, the global, I'm going to sound like one of these tin hat nutters, but I think what we've seen in England with the former Prince Andrew and the royal family and everything, it seems to be a global elite, doesn't it, in some ways? Or am I losing the plot, Kate?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time with all of that. And I'm not normally one for conspiracy theories, no. But this whole thing does make you more attracted to certain conspiracy theories because some of them turn out to have been true. So it does make you think a bit differently. But the case was more about the damaging nature of social media, wasn't it? I think Spencer has answered the point well about they were just taking the piss out of the judge, basically, and in a very irresponsible way, particularly, as you say, from a British perspective, where you can't even televise a trial in court. But regarding the social media side of things, it's interesting because, of course, these tools, these platforms are designed to get you addicted. They are designed to keep you on it and to make you scroll that bit further. And that does have impacts on the rest of your life, your attention span. That's been undeniable for years. And for me, the interesting question is where the line is, because all forms of marketing are supposed to manipulate the recipient to some level to make them think it's a more popular product, to use it more. This is kind of more of an extreme form of that. It's all aimed at influence, isn't it? Influencing the user. So I totally agree it's damaging, but I don't know where the line is.
Yeah, I think you made some fantastic points. And but him and his team, I think where I lost all respect for him and his senior management, when it came out that they knew that a lot of the stuff that was being published was affecting young women who had eating disorders, and they just didn't care. It was just water on a duck's back. They just, especially him, he just pushed it away. He just wasn't interested. That's when that came in the public domain, that's where I lost all respect for him, and I never will have much respect for him. But Mark, what were the key things that you got from this story?
I definitely think they knew what they were doing when they went in there. And, you know, this is kind of like the difference between old money in power and new money in power. and old money in power has something beyond money and power. They have wisdom to keep their heads low, move forward.
Prince Andrew.
You know. Yeah, well, okay. And then you have those outliers. But what happens? I mean, they get slammed when it happens. It doesn't happen here, obviously. The new kind of that new arrogance that goes with the new money and power of they can do whatever they want. Until, like Spencer said, until the world says we're kind of sick of this. And that's where, like I said, there's a difference between wisdom and intelligence. And these guys are all super intelligent, but they're not at all wise. And and wisdom is something that comes with age and time and experience and all of the things that they don't have. They do not have a wealth of that. And this is why they're going and doing these stupid things that if they didn't do it, probably nobody would care. You know, that's the thing is if they just went in, took their licks, you know, it used to just be the worst thing that would happen is people would say, okay, paying legal fees is the cost of doing business. And that's it. But now it's like going into court and saying we're willing to pay the legal fees and tell the court that we don't have respect for it, that's when things fall apart. And history does show that. And I'm with Spencer on the idea that, you know, things will equalize. It's just we're going to go through some pain to get there.
So, Kurt, what did you think of this story?
About a year ago, I was listening to a podcast and Sarah Wynne Williams was one of the guests and she authored a book called Careless People. She's one of the whistleblowers in the Facebook world. And I don't know why, but I was just drawn to it. And I thought, you know what? I'm looking for something to do while I'm riding a bicycle. I'll listen to this lady's book. And her description of the inner workings and the interpersonal relationships with the top people at Facebook is like jaw-dropping, shockingly, just bizarre, no boundaries kind of stuff to most, you know, struggling American households. Like their concepts of, you know, what is that? The law for me and not for thee, or laws for thee and not for me kind of situations. They just don't have a grounding in the same reality that we have. And what's interesting about that article that I didn't really think of, but it was like, think of the technology that they actually have that we don't use, right? So face recognition software. So they could, you know, they could take a look at the jurors and figure out who's on the jury board, or they could do, there's all kinds of stuff that they could probably do with the footage that they would take in that room. And it's stuff that we probably don't even, as normal people walking around on this planet, don't really think about. And so, yeah, it's atrocious behavior, but I'm not going to say I'm surprised.
No, I wasn't at all. It's kind of a pattern of attitude, really, isn't it? In my opinion. But there we go. Right, thanks, panel. I think we've had a fantastic first half. We're going to go for our middle break. We've got another message from our great major sponsors that we really appreciate. And we'll be back soon with some more stories.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the second half, just want to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting partner and you've got a major membership community project and you're a freelancer, why don't you look at hosting with WP Tonic? We're much more than a hosting partner that specializes in these websites. We're your technical partner as well. Also, we offer some great affiliate packages. You can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So, on to the next story. WP Community Collective President resigns overboard. Tolerance for risk and discomfort. So, Mark, what did you think of this story?
I had a feeling you'd hit me first on this one.
That was a big sigh, wasn't it?
I don't even know where to go with this. I kind of understand Katie's point of view. Katie's the one person that in the photo that I don't know. I've never met her, but I understand her. I think I understand her frustration, because I always got the impression that the idea behind this, and of course with someone like Say at the you know, on the team, I kind of thought that it was, in a way, one of the missions was to create a disruption and cause discomfort and cause, you know, bring things to light, and while supporting the community at the same time, and not being one to, I do wonder how much influence that big check that GoDaddy wrote and is writing had an effect on the efficacy of the collective, but I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much, but I find it interesting, and I think we're going to see some things develop out of this going forward. So it'll be interesting to see.
All right. So, Katie, what do you think of this?
I think it's really interesting. There's clearly a lot that went on behind closed doors about the dynamics between the leadership of the community collective, which it wouldn't really be right to comment on because we don't know the true picture. But more widely, it's a really interesting initiative because they don't have power. They have influence, but they don't have power. The whole point of it is because they think there can be improvements in the way that WordPress is governed, which a lot of people agree with. So they're trying to do good, but actually they don't have real power to effect that change. It's more about influence from outside, which create a discomfort by definition. So in a way, it's not surprising that the strong characters who have formed that would have internal conflicts about the best direction. In a way, it's a very difficult, almost thankless task of what they're trying to do, because, like I say, ultimately they can't actually bring about the change. They can just talk about it and raise awareness of possibilities.
Can I ask you this, Kate, and if you don't want to respond, because I'm probably asking you an impossible question, but you got any sense why GoDaddy gave them $600,000 initially?
Must have been a belief in what they were doing. GoDaddy do fund quite a lot of community type things these days, and are much more embedded in the WordPress community than they were a few years ago. And so I suppose they just believed in it. But obviously it was a bit controversial, I remember, when it happened.
Right. So, Kurt, what do you think of this story?
Oh, I knew you were going to come to me on this.
I can't come to you, the last person of all the stories. Can I?
Yeah, it's I really just don't. I don't go for the whole gotta disrupt, gotta got to be make ourselves a pain in the rear to make our voices heard and on all that stuff. I've said from the beginning with WordPress, part of the reason I love WordPress is because if you've got a laptop and access to the internet, you're not disadvantaged at all. You've got every opportunity to put your stake in the ground, build something and sell something. And it's I've always just been kind of weirded out that it's everyone says, well, I didn't have the same shot. We all have the same shot. I mean, look at where Elementor was actually made. You know, when we talk about Elementor, it wasn't made in New York City. It wasn't made in San Diego. It wasn't made in San Francisco. You know, there are breakout stories, you know, Jewel with the whole Fluent Empire. There's breakout stories everywhere. And I feel that it's a disservice to the people that do well to think that they had some kind of weird push from some other kind of source. We've got access to the internet. We've got computers. We've got the ability to learn something for free, leverage something that was free. It's open source. And we can plant our flag and build something out of it. I don't think we need to scream from the mountaintops that we're disadvantaged in any way.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. So, Spencer, I think the bit, I'm not saying that Kurt doesn't know this, but I think the bit that was missing from Kurt, this is only my opinion, Spencer, for what it's worth, is he's missing out the one key word, money. There's a lot of money in the WordPress space, you know, especially if you're a major hosting provider. And what did you think of this story? Because in some ways it's a bit of a yawn fest. In other ways, it has got some interest. That's why I put it in for us to discuss.
First of all, I mean, my observation in general, and I mean, if somebody can answer this, I would be offering a lollipop. Who's actually in charge of WordPress itself? Is there anybody other than Matt? I'm serious. I mean, we all know there used to be somebody that was sort of the figurehead and then she had to leave. And now this very smart woman is apparently frustrated enough to have to leave. And what exactly is the WP Community Collective do? For whom? Where is anywhere any evidence of anybody actually running anything other than ask the king what to do? And I mean, like I said, you can notice from my lack of being interruptive these last couple of seconds, like I have no F's left to give for what he does or doesn't do, because like Kurt, I've learned I can love all of you and the rest of my WordPress community by just going la, 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 la. Somebody is just talking and I'm not listening, because the rest of the things that are happening, like from the first story, I feel I'm able to do without regard to what he says or does. And I feel this is just sort of unfortunate, because whether it's 600,000 this or that currency, somebody put up a bunch of money for something that did what? For whom? And where is the evidence of that? And, you know, like, I'm not saying it's ever going to happen, but if this year I'm going to Raquel's thing, I'm not going to any more of this guy's thing, because this guy's thing is just nobody's participatory in a way that's meaningful. If you look at the other communities, even Drupal, or God forbid, a bigger company like Salesforce, when they put stuff together, you can see real people actually doing things that have an effect. This is just a kingdom with an illusion around it that, you know.
Well, I think I do agree with a lot of what you said, and that's the contradiction of Matt. It's taken me a long while to learn this, too long, that in organizations and in people in general, and I'm not saying it's not in me as well, is that you can have two totally contradictory things at play at the same time. Two, and they can be true. They're not, it's not the person's acting or the organization is acting. You can have two totally opposite, contradictory positions.
It's like Jonathan Benwood, WordPress Collective. Like, I could just make up names now and it has just about the same amount of real world effect. I mean,
yeah.
The Kurt Von Annen Collective for WordPress.
That's got a ring.
I'll join that. I would join my one.
Takes Venmo or PayPal, by the way.
I'll join Katie's as well.
Or Bitcoin.
Yeah. Right, on to the next story. I think we got no more to say about that. So AI security nightmare is here. It looks suspiciously like a lobster. So this story is about OpenClaw, the security thing. So, Katie, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, OpenClaw is just come out of nowhere, hasn't it? Maybe 10 days ago. It's just everybody's talking about it. And it's been interesting to watch the wave of hype. At first, it was seen as this amazing thing that people could do anything. And then after about halfway through, people started saying, hang on, what actually useful can we do with this? And people realized that you had to really know what you were doing to achieve very much and have a really clear vision and also outcomes in mind. As Spencer was saying earlier, what do you want to use it for? So it's now hardly surprising that all these people that were setting it up on their computers and giving it access to do stuff is having various security problems. That's not really surprising. So it's great. It's given people this control, but maybe not always in the right hands.
Yeah, so Spencer, when me and Kirk was interviewing Matt, he did, and I brought this up about OpenClaw. He did remark that he had a couple of discussions with Peter. I just think WordPress needs, I'm not suggesting creative destruction, but it needs something to revigorize itself. And I could think of nothing more invigorizing WordPress that if you brought on Peter into WordPress, wouldn't it? That would really put the cats in the pigeons, wouldn't it?
I mean, you guys are all indicating that you understand something, but you're just not expressing it. First of all that Peter did, all that OpenClaw did, and by the way, those who don't know what it is, it was originally a pun on OpenClawed, and then it just, the name got so confusing, but then they picked up the meme like, well, let's call it Claw and make it a lobster because, you know, like Twitter with the bird and stuff. And then all these things happen, as Katie properly indicated, but I actually take a different spin on what the consequence was, and this is where I think now that I've brought it to your attention, you might find differently when you go back to look. This morning, three major companies, including Perplexity, and I'll talk about OpenAI, but even Anthropic, they've all effectively removed all of the last safeguards, and they've all implemented essentially their own flavor of OpenClaw, which is what's called agentic managed development. There's leather words for it. But the distinction here with meaning is, unlike when you have a chat with a one-on-one thing, they have implemented what Claw showed was possible, but everyone was afraid to do. We talked about this 6 months ago. When you had a ChatGPT, it didn't have any tools to do naughty things, even on the desktop. Neither did Claude desktop, because they were worried that my mom and dad are going to get fished. But as soon as the real world of other people like this dude who said, I don't care, Mac minis are $200. Let's give them all the power to do everything and see what happens. That's when the money guy said, hold on. We can't let some dude over there make everybody think that they can use his solution instead of ours. Let's remove all the safeguards. Let's hand out the nuclear codes. And now every single one of the LLM makers, the desktop agentic tools, have all come up with the same version of the same thing, which actually, Katie, is really useful. And here's why. Yes, you can give away all your bank and social security numbers. Your AI can email people and say naughty things or send pictures you didn't want them to see. But in exchange for that, you can have a dude like my Fernando who can be given a list of things to do for me. I go to bed, Fernando hires out all the other dudes to do the work as specialists. I wake up in the morning and he reports back about, I sold this, I did this, I talked to this person, this. And it's not a far-fetched dream. It's happening right now. To Jonathan's comment, wouldn't it be provocative? Yes, it is. In fact, that's exactly what Minute Launch is. Minute Launch is Spencer's version, and anybody could do this if they want, of what it would be like if that happened in WordPress. Because as soon as Claw came out, I said, Minute Launch has to have that feature too, because there's a lot of things that I do. I don't want to sit there and talk to the guy. Either way, here's my prediction.
When you look at the early adopter curves of any technology, fax machines in 1993, text messaging, we are at that stage where, I shit you not, I get calls from smart people of various generations, usually from Gen X to Boomer, and they go, I don't really know what's going on, but I started using the chat thing and all my competitors doing this. And next thing you know, I'm going to get a call from my mom and she's going to say, oh, I'm trying to program my Fernando. And that's when I know it's over. But between now and over is a gold rush for people who are smart enough to get ahead of the curve and put their flag in the ground. Because as soon as my mom knows what an agent is, it's going to be just like the housing market or just going to be like all the other things that we hit the top of the curve. And that's where I feel this whole conversation with Mullenweg and everything else is so laughable. This dude is doing what? Like the rest of the world's going a billion miles an hour and he's talking in like hypotheticals. Meanwhile, everybody else can just do like this guy did for OpenClaw. I don't care if OpenAI does this. I can do it myself because I've got the agentic guys that can now crack the egg on everything. And with respect to one last comment, when I said with respect to you guys, I would never do anything to hurt my friends. But anybody right now who wanted to could replace every single one of the plugins in the WordPress repository and all the things you guys sell and make your livelihood, including my software, including Jack's software, because it's just one request away. The coding capability of the tools that I and other people have are not technical. They are literally, here's an idea from a phone call, make it, and boom, three iterations later, it's ready to go. And for me, putting it on WordPress gives me an advantage because I have all the legacy stuff, but other people put it on their own hosting or, you know, Node.js or something else. It's pick your flavor of platform.
Yeah, I could see where you're going from because it's open source, so it's all out there, isn't it? If you understand anything about how large language models are working, having all that code out there is very attractive to these.
I mean, just look at what this guy did to the billionaire, trillionaire investments in these other platforms where they said, we cannot do this. Remember when Elon was having a debate with the OpenAI guy about the safety and so forth? Remember 2 years ago? And now it's like, God damn it, we have so much money invested. Let's a bajillion dollars in data centers that make 400 megawatts of power a minute and take all the safeties off. Like we are racing at full throttle to that because the same people that think you can wear Meta AI glasses into court are the ones that are like, we have too much invested in this not to do it.
Yeah. And right here. Is it okay go on to the next story panel? So I like to cover it. And is that okay, panel?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, right. Let's go on to the next. And it'll probably be our last one. I know Kurt's got to go right on the hour. Or we could continue to the last story. Can Elementor 1 accelerate the page builder growth? I'm not going to put that to Spencer because he probably thinks it's totally irrelevant as well. So, Katie, to me, I'm just going to add I've resisted this. I've not put my little bit in. I've just kept my mouth shut for most of this show, I think, for me. I just see what Elementor is trying to do here is a little bit of the even more fragmentation of the WordPress market is that all these major hosting providers or page builders in some ways, apart from the ones that have built on Gutenberg, they're all trying to build their own fiefdom, aren't they? Their own enclosed world, aren't they? Or do you think I'm totally wrong there, Kate?
Yeah, I think you're right. And when I was reading the article, the question in my head was really, where is WordPress in all this? It's all Elementor first. But I think Elementor is uniquely a good fit for that approach because there is evidence that Elementor bring a lot of people into WordPress through things like their constant YouTube ads and things like that that wouldn't have found WordPress another way. They choose Elementor first and that happens to be built on top of WordPress. So it kind of makes sense for them to be introducing an even more of an Elementor-based ecosystem, still using WordPress so you can install your plugins and whatever else. It's still all open source and all of that. And I think Elementor are really smart because most, I can't think of any other page builder that has done that. Where I've even seen stats, nobody's got very good data, but I've seen some evidence that a big proportion of WordPress's growth in new users is coming from Elementor, which is really interesting and suggests they're doing a good positive thing for the community, even though it is creating this closed ecosystem that you've described, Jonathan.
Well, I think their marketing is always, always been top quality, hasn't it? You know, their ability to market has been some of the best in the area, isn't it? You know, it's shown some of the more established hosting providers has just totally wiped them off the face, hasn't it, when it comes to... So, Mark, what did you think of this particular story or interview?
Hang on, the battery on my camera just died.
Oh, really quick. Well, let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Kurt. Kurt, what did you think?
I have a love-hate relationship with Elementor. And so if they have a way to loop people in and bring people to WordPress and, you know, keep this market, you know, maybe it's not booming and growing in leaps and bounds like it was, but if it can help sustain, you know, usership, I can kind of say, yeah, I'm a little behind that. But when I look at the overall package and how it would fit my use case and my agency, I do see some gaps and some stumbling blocks in the path.
Well, I suppose Mark, I suppose it's really when you have systems like Lovable and or somewhere like Framer, having the discussion, but I suppose that's what Elementor, that's what they want to do, don't they? They want to build their own platform that maybe still has some linkage to WordPress, but is also, and it, in some ways, what Katie said is that they've always been seen as a kind of quasar kind of WordPress, but also a SaaS, haven't they? Or am I making any sense, Mark?
Well, I think that, yeah, in a way, I think Elementor is kind of uniquely positioned to do this because they've slowly been adding to them just being a page builder for years. They've added something year after year, and it makes sense that they ultimately kind of wrap it up in the package. And from a business standpoint, it makes sense to get the customer and keep them, you know, coming back to you for everything as much as possible. So I think that, like Kurt, though, who has a love-hate relationship with Elementor, I tend to hear the stuff from the people who have been in the WordPress community for a long time. And so people tend to have like a negative attitude towards it because they have been familiar with Elementor for a long time. But it's interesting what you say, Katie, about the fact that they're bringing in so many new people into the ecosystem. And I think that's probably where their blue waters are, is in that bringing the new people into the ecosystem. So from that standpoint, it's a good idea. It'll be interesting to see how they do it differently than some of the others that are out there that are doing it. I do think that they are in a position to be successful at it.
So, Spence, I think they upset a lot of people in the freelance agents, small agency world with all the updates that broke. I just hear a lot of people still complaining, you know, I had to deal with this update of this animator. I just got 1,000 phone calls from clients that were managing their websites and it broke. I don't think it led to a lot of bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, did it?
I feel like I'm like the guy who shows up the show is like the contrarian. I mean, maybe I've always been that way, but in particular, I love the people who built Elementor. I know many of them personally and hung out with them and so forth. But the problem is, this is just dead. Elementor is a bloated legacy from another era. The reason they have to do this one, the reason they had to leave the building, the reason why, as you recognize everybody, like it seems like it's Elementor first. And oh, by the way, this works with WordPress, is because it's like people bought a house that has a brand new electric car built into the garage. And then Elementor is that 454 big block station wagon, the country squire from 1975. And they're trying to justify all the reasons that people should continue to use
hey,
it.
Hey, don't knock the station wagon.
I love the wood panels, by the way, family vacation for the
we
win.
Had one.
But
fantastic
the point
car.
Is, if you tried to make space for that in your one car garage where you already had a brand new modern electric flying car, you'd have to come up with all these excuses. That's all this is. It's an industry for a product that has time has come and gone. Even just basic Gutenberg with assistance of cadence blocks or something is better than the nightmare of using Elementor, the 80-second page loads, the endless amounts of JavaScript, the, oh my God, 57 different mouse movements to just do something that, whether you use an old-fashioned tool or Fernando, takes 2 seconds now. They're just trying to rationalize why they shouldn't go away. Like every industry that this happens. Does anybody remember Blockbuster Video? Because one day Blockbuster was the only thing in town. And then this guy, Reed Hastings, proved bye-bye Blockbuster. And overnight it disappeared. That's how it works. And I hate to be the guy who's like ringing the canary in the coal mine, but like the sooner they get over it, the better. Because when people come to me and they go, I have Elementor, I go, stop. Let's talk about why you have Elementor. And I ask them questions, explain how you do stuff. And they explain to me like they're playing the game Twister with their work. Like, first I spin the spinner and move my, and like 18 minutes later, I go, watch this. Hey, Fernando, make this page. Boom, done. Like, you can't even compare it. So I love the people who built it. They would be better if they reinvented that as some kind of completely different thing than what it was, because it was a bridge between the old WordPress of themes and Gutenberg. And even though Gutenberg's its own bastard stepchild, it's there, it's not going away, and that's
it. Right. Yeah, I thought that was well put in some ways, but there we go. So I'm going to end it now. Also, Kurt, do you want to say?
I got
to go. All right, sorry. See you later. Bye. So the rest of the panel, do you want to discuss the last story or do you want me to wrap it up?
I have time for one more story.
Yeah, right. Let's go on to the next story then. And let's put my glasses on to read it. I think we've had a great chat.
Is your home now or are you in a different office, John?
No, I'm visiting friends in Nevada.
Oh, okay, good.
I've come back for a little bit of skiing.
You
know,
he's a huge American patriot.
I had no idea.
All the way the other direction with this.
You've really rejected the British side, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, he's very strange.
I'm to Freedom America carpeting, you know.
Yeah, but that's the contradiction in me, folks.
Isn't that the Oval Office that you're in?
Right. Yeah, but I thought it was fun, actually. My friend was a chief engineer in a nuclear power submarine. So he's very patriotic. He's very proud of his service, which he's got every right to be, hasn't he? So let's, and he's a very close friend.
Don't tread on me, John.
Yeah. I get on with all sorts of people. As long as they believe in democracy, and they're not fascists, I'm fine with it. On to the next one. Tesla, the robo-taxi, adds 5 more crashes in Austin in a month. 4 worse than Uber's. So, Katie, what did you think of this story?
I think it is exaggerated and sensationalized because when you read it, they define crash. The word crash, it sounds very dramatic. It's onomatopoeic. You imagine terrible things. The actual list of crashes are very, very minor. It's like it reversed into a lamppost slightly in almost all the cases. So, it does. There are some stats that it's having slightly more incidents than real drivers and also than other autonomous vehicle taxi type companies. But it's not as bad as I think the headline would suggest.
Yeah, I think this is all kind of, I'm going to put this to you, Spencer. It's just my spin on it. I think Tesla, if you look at the valuation of Tesla at the present moment, it's just unbelievable. You know, there's a lot of people that I listen to on podcasts that have been predicting, you know, how can Tesla valuation be supported? But I think, you know, Mr. Musk, you know, he's saying that Tesla no longer is an electric company, really. It's robots and it's self-driving, isn't it? And this is what Tesla's going to be. But I also think the reason why Tesla shares have just, a few people have shorted them and they've lost a ton of money, is people think he's going to row in SpaceX. He's going to row in the satellite business into Tesla, and Tesla's just going to be one company with SpaceX and Starlink, and they're just waiting for that to happen.
And Twitter, don't forget Twitter.
Yeah, and Twitter as well, or X, whatever he wants to call it. Do you think that's right? You know, but then you've got this story, which I agree with Katie, but he is pushing that this is all, he's going to be able to do all this very quickly. And he was saying the same thing 3 years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, the thing is, Elon Musk himself, thankfully he's back to working instead of politics. But as far as the actual companies, it does seem obvious that he's aggregated his focus and his assets for many reasons. I mean, the actual outcome that he's achieving, if you really look at the other businesses like SpaceX, you know, how many times did he say in public and prove that we're going to have to crack a lot of eggs to make this booster thing come down to Earth and land on a floating platform, which if you think about it is really freaking amazing that they made it work. But you could watch in real time every time they used to, they crashed it a little, crash, and then eventually got, well, okay, how many times has the guy from O'Hare Airport ran over somebody with his regular taxi? Probably a lot more, like Katie's suggesting, than the statistics of all drivers, because the dude behind the wheel is not the safest driver. He's just driving more recklessly. And these are robo-taxis. So let's assume that we have to break a few eggs or legs or ribs or something to get to perfect taxis. Who cares? Like, they got deep pockets, they're going to pay it. Well, I mean it with facetiousness, but not. Because, like, when the Wright brothers made the first airplane, we got from 1911 or to today very quickly. I think that we have to accept that for self-driving cars and all these other devices, I'm personally looking at these robotic, like, drone that you sit in things for flying taxis. I'm in favor of it. They are just one of several competitors. If you look at China, China has incredible technology now because Chinese government has geared itself up towards everybody needs to do this. And if the United States government could eventually come back to like some level of hello, instead of we're trapped in this universe, we would be doing the same. We would have like 12 Teslas or 12 Waymos or whatever, all trying to make all cars do this. And it's fascinating because really think about it. I have a car that sits in my driveway and I have a friend who's going to come get me for lunch. Like, my car sits there collecting dust. I have a very old classic car that's worth nothing because I don't need a $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 new car. I very rarely drive. If I could just call an automatic taxi, I mean, like, right? And if I had a car that I could rent out to my friends, it would make so much sense for so many things. But we're not getting there the rate we're at because we're spending money on other stuff. I'm not going to say politically what that is, but we seem to have quadrillions of dollars for hurting people and very little for helping people. And if that shifts, then there we go.
Yeah, I agree with that last statement. So, Mark, what did you think? Because I kind of expanded the brief of the story, really. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, okay, first of all, and one of the things that we have to, so they had five more crashes in a month, 4 times worse than humans. That is very sensationalistic. But we do have to keep in mind that the Tesla is also rated as one of the safest cars on the road. So at least when it's crashing, the people inside of it are, you know, probably safe, especially at 17 miles an hour or whatever they said it was. But, you know, it seems to me like people just keep they like to go after Tesla constantly. Every time a battery explodes, it makes the news. But you know what? I was driving on the freeway yesterday and I saw a truck catch on fire. Okay. A gasoline powered truck. It was like in full blaze. And I've seen this happen on more than one occasion. And that doesn't make the news. That doesn't make national news. And these things happen all the time where people, last week I was driving home and on a surface street, a car had overturned and I passed it. That's human error right there. The gasoline explosion probably wasn't, but the overturned car, I guarantee you that was a human error that caused that. And I go into San Francisco pretty regularly. I take the ferry and then I get off and I call a Waymo. And let me tell you, those robo-taxis are pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, they're frustrating because it's like you got in the car with your 70-year-old grandmother who has to follow every single law that was ever created on the road because it's doing exactly the speed limit. It's you know, staying exactly the right distance behind the car in front of it. It's doing everything that most humans don't do and doing it better. And so if you're used to like maybe going a little bit faster and following people a little closer or whatever, or reacting to things, these robo-taxis don't do that. And I think ultimately we are heading towards a society where everything is going to be kind of autonomous driving vehicles. Well, they're all going to be interconnected with each other and communicating. So that's going to take it to another level of safety that we don't have because I'm not connected with every single driver on the road. I have to react to whatever they're doing. But these cars are going to know what other cars are on the road. They're going to know where they are, what they're going to do, where they're going, and that's going to improve the safety records as well. So as much as I personally do like to drive, I think that ultimately we are heading in the right direction with this stuff. And I think that articles like this just like to blow things out of proportion.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I have very mixed feelings about it, but I think that was a good synopsis. So I think it's time to call it a day. I think it's been a fantastic discussion panel. Thank you for your coming here and discussing these stories. So, Kate, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and Barn2?
Our products are on barn2.com. You can follow me on either X or LinkedIn at Katie Keith Barn2.
And thanks for being such a friend of the show, Katie. It's much appreciated. And Mr. Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
I'm over at WP LaunchFi, socials at Spencer Foreman. You can read more about Minute Launch at MinuteLaunch.com.
Fine. And Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
You can find me at mainwp.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on all the socials. I'm Mark Benzak just about everywhere, and that's Mark with a C. And I also have my own website, markbenzakane.com, which I hardly do anything on, but it's there.
And Troy, please join us if you can live for our 1,000th show next week. I never thought I'd get to that. I will be here next week as well.
Who's going to be on that show?
I can't remember, to be truthful, but it's going to be somebody interesting. It was hard to, as always, got some fabulous guests coming on the show, actually. I'm quite impressed with my efforts. But please join this tribe on that particular show. It should be a blast. And we'll see you next month for the Roundtable Show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.